الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وَعَلَىٰ آلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to another episode of the series, The Sin of Backbiting. Before starting our episode, let's listen to an excellence of reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, whoever recites Salat upon me 50 times, I will shake hands with him on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers, make an intention to recite Salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam at least 50 times every day. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will get blessings of this in this world and even in the hereafter. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, in today's episode, we will talk about the respect of a Muslim. The sin of backbiting is related to the respect of a Muslim. And after listening to this episode, inshallah, we will realize how important the respect of a Muslim is. The most noble Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has stated, indeed, humiliating a Muslim without a cause is one of the major sins, dear viewers of Madani Channel. In reality, a Muslim is the protector of another Muslim's honor. Sadly, in these trying times, things have shifted to the opposite end of the spectrum, and Muslims are seeking opportunities to humiliate other Muslims. Muslims are backbiting, tale-bearing, accusing, and hurting others' feelings without any justification. It is stated on page 19 of the booklet titled Zulm Ka Anjam, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, the matters of the rights of others are very fragile. Sadly, these are difficult times. Not only are common people infringing upon the rights of the people, but the apparent flag bearers of the religion are also oblivious to these matters. The disease of anger is common, and so-called righteous and noble hurt the feelings of other people. They remain oblivious of the fact that hurting the feelings of a Muslim without a permissible cause under Islamic law is a sin and an act that leads one to hell. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has quoted a hadith from At-Tabarani on page 342 of Fatawa-e Razaviyya, volume 24. The most dignified Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has cautioned, man aza musliman faqad azani wa man azani faqad azallah, meaning whoever without a cause that is permissible under Islamic law harms a Muslim, he has annoyed me, and the one who annoys me has annoyed Allah Azza wa Jal. Tubu ilallah, astaghfirullah. Regarding those that harm Allah Azza wa Jal and his Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in Quran part 22 and Surah Ahzab, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman. Indeed, those who offend Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger, upon them is Allah's curse in the world and in the hereafter. And Allah has kept prepared a disgraceful punishment for them. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, respect of a believer is greater than that of the Holy Kaaba. The seal of the Prophethood, the merciful Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam addressed the Kaaba and said, the respect of a mu'min is greater than yours. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has also stated, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A mu'min, true believer, is he from whose hands and tongue other Muslims are saved. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, an ideal Muslim is the one who does not swear with his tongue, does not pass bad remarks about someone unless justified by Islam. An ideal Muslim does not backbite against anyone, does not label anyone as stupid, does not reveal others' faults, does not harm anyone, and refrains from hurting others' feelings. In addition, a Muslim abstains from physical violence and does not criticize anyone just for the sake of criticism. Whoever does not possess the qualities stated above, but instead hurts others in various ways, physically abuses others, signals with his eyes in a way that hurts others, and everyone is fed up with him, cannot be an ideal Muslim. His faith is weak in his heart, and he's very likely to be overpowered and deceived by Shaitan near his death. Shaitan might even turn him away from the true path, so he will be away from paradise and on the path towards hell. Ma'azallah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us protection from such evil. Ameen. On the other hand, if a Muslim has firm faith, has true love for Islam in his heart, has qualities and actions of piety, does not have the burden of violating the rights of others, then in that case, the deceptions of Shaitan will not affect him. With the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, the strength of his faith will enhance. An angel will drive Shaitan away and safeguard the Muslims from his deceptions. Thus, the Muslim will die with Iman. Shaitan will be disgusted and will yell and cry at his own failure. A poet says, Zindagi aur maut ki hai, ya ilahi kashmakash, jaan chale teri riza par, bekaso majboor ki. The English translation of this verse is, it is a struggle between life and death. For this helpless, may Allah be pleased when the soul departs. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, in order to get rid from the habit of backbiting and to make a habit of offering salah and practicing the sunnah, travel in the Madani Qafla with the devotees of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Also take part from beginning till the end in the weekly sunnah inspiring ijtima. For your persuasion, here is a first-hand account of an inspiring Madani incident that has been relayed by an Islamic brother from the area of Latifabad in the city of Hyderabad, Sindh, Pakistan. The Islamic brother says that due to the company of a certain group of people, I had many misconceptions due to which I would argue at home against gatherings where food is served with the intent of presenting the sawab and celebrating Milad, that is, the blessed birthday of the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This condition of mine went on for about 3 years. Before that, I used to love reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, but due to the evil effects of the company, I completely lost the passion to recite it. The Islamic brother further says that one day while reading, I came across the virtues of reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and my passion was revived. I began to recite Salat regularly and extensively. Once, I went to sleep while reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, I saw the green dome of the Prophet's shrine in my dream, and I uttered, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. When I woke up in the morning, I felt a revolution within myself. I began to question as to which path was the righteous and the true path. Fortunately, I was invited to travel with the Madani Qafla that was visiting a masjid in our neighborhood. My state of confusion and quest for the right path led me to travel with that Madani Qafla. During the journey, with the blessing company of the devotees of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I attained the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. I gathered all the companions of the Madani Qafla and declared that until yesterday, I had many false beliefs. But today, I make you my witness that I repent from such false beliefs and intend to embrace the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. The Islamic brothers showed their happiness on my action. The next day, I brought some sweets and served it with my own hands as Isal-e-Sawab to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Before traveling in the Madani Qafla, I had a respiratory disease for 35 years, because of which every night was agonizing. I also had pain in my right wisdom tooth, which caused problems while chewing. Though the problems were cured by the blessings of the Madani Qafla, I bear witness with absolute certainty that the beliefs of the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat are correct, and I strongly believe that the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami is favored by Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What magnificent blessings are attained by traveling with the devotees of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Dawat-e-Islami's Madani Qafla. The fact of the matter is that he was led astray by the company of misguided friends, but due to the grace of reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam extensively, that fortunate person not only traveled in the Madani Qafla but also found guidance and the right path. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we should always refrain from the company of the misguided people as well, and seek only the company of the devotees of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because the company of the misguided is detrimental for one's iman. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has laid great emphasis to refrain from establishing friendships and relationships with the misguided. Hence, the Sultan of both worlds, the most noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has stated, whoever greets a deviant with salam, or meets him graciously, or deals with him in a manner which makes him happy, that person has disrespected that which Allah azza wa jal has revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam parted these guiding words of advice: whoever respected a person having corrupt beliefs, he has helped in bringing down the religion. My master Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated on page 184 of Fatawa-e Razaviyya, volume 21, it is impermissible for the Sunnis to mingle with people of other religions, especially if the deviant is in a position of authority and the Sunni is subservient. قال الله تعالى, meaning Allah Almighty says, translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman, and if the devil causes you to forget, then do not sit with the unjust ones after remembering. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, stay away from them and they stay away from you, lest they may lead you astray and put you in disarray about your faith. My master Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has strictly emphasized the impermissibility of seeking religious and worldly education from a misguided person. Thus, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes, the company of the people of other religion is fire. Many mature, intelligent, and even knowledgeable individuals have been led astray from their faith. Imran bin Hattan's case is well known. During the era of Tabi'een, he was the master of hadith. He married a Khariji woman, and in her company, ma'azallah, he became a Khariji. When he married her, he had claimed that he wanted to convert her to Sunni Islam. My master, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, further goes on to say, if just company of a deviant caused such disastrous results for such a great master of hadith, then how detrimental would it be to take a deviant as your teacher? The influence of the teacher is often swift and long-lasting. Therefore, only those people will give their children to deviant, misguided teachers who do not really care about religion and are unconcerned about their children get misguided. The poet says, Mahfooz khuda rakhna sada be-adabon se aur mujhse bhi sarzad na kabhi be-adabi ho. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, tubu ila Allah, astaghfirullah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It has been narrated on the authority of the companion Sayyidina Abu Umama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the most beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam visited Baqi, the graveyard of Medina, and stood close to two graves and said, did you bury so and so person? The companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum answered, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Then, with the ability granted by Allah Azza wa Jal, revealing the knowledge of the unseen, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, just now so and so person was made to sit in grave and was beaten. Then he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam continued, by the one in whose power my soul is, he was beaten so severely that all his body parts have separated and a fire has been ignited in his grave. And he screamed, which all creatures except humans and jinns heard. If you did not have facade, that is a barrier in your hearts, and did not talk a lot, you would have also heard it. Then he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, now the other one is also being punished. Then he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam further continued, by the one in whose power my soul is, he has been beaten so severely that each of his bones has separated. Fire has been ignited in his grave. He also screamed in such a manner that all the creatures except humans and jinns heard. If you did not have facade, that is barrier in your hearts, and did not talk a lot, you would also hear what I heard. The companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, what were their sins? The most noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, the first one did not protect themselves from urine, and the other one would backbite, that is, eat the flesh of others. Tubu ila Allah, astaghfirullah. Dear viewers of Madini Channel, the above narration has many pearls of wisdom for those who do not refrain from backbiting and fail to protect themselves from droplets of urine. Even those who do not obtain purity but get themselves and their clothes impure from droplets of urine after urinating should take heed and fear Allah Azza wa Jal. The greatest and the holiest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, guard yourself from urine. Usually the torment of the grave is because of it. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, let's listen to another parable that elaborates on this very issue. On page 187 of Uyun al-Hikayat, volume 2, the 413 page publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, it is narrated that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, once during a journey, I came across a graveyard that existed from the era of ignorance. Suddenly, a dead person rose out of the grave. He was shackled with a chain of fire around his neck. I had a container of water. Then he saw me and said, O Abdullah, give me a sip of that water to drink. I thought to myself that since he called me by my name, either he knows who I am or he is referring me as Abdullah, as it is customary among Arabs for addressing anyone unknown as Abdullah. Then suddenly another man rose from that very grave and said to me, O Abdullah, do not give any water to that disobedient person. He is a kafir. The latter then dragged him back to his grave. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that I spent that night at the house of an old woman. There was a grave next to that house. I heard the following statements from that grave. Urine. What is urine? Wessel. What is a wessel? Later, I asked the old woman about the voice from the grave. She said, the grave belongs to my husband. He is being punished for two wrongdoings. One, whilst urinating, he would not protect himself from droplets of urine. I would often tell him, shame on you. Even a camel spreads its legs while urinating in order to protect itself from urine. But you are so careless. My husband would not pay attention to any of my warnings. Since his death, this voice continues to sound from his grave. I asked the old woman, what about wessel? What is a wessel? She replied that once a thirsty man came and asked my husband for water. He told him, pointing towards an empty water container, go drink water from that container. The thirsty person leaped towards the wessel to quench his thirst, but found it empty. Due to the severity of his thirst, the man fainted and fell onto the floor and passed away. Ever since my husband has died, this voice continues to come from his grave every day. Wessel, what is a wessel? Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma further goes on to say that I relate this whole story to the most noble prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, upon which he ordered me not to travel alone. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, no matter how minor or small a sin may seem, if Allah Azza wa Jal brings us to justice, then we will not be able to bear its punishment. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, indeed the anxiety of the trials in the grave is very discomforting. Who knows when death will come our way and take us through to the lonely grave. Even the very thought of the grave is very heart-wrenching. On top of that, how will we bear the punishments if Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are displeased? Here is the description of the hour of death and agonies of the deceased written by my master, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He says, the soul feeling the fresh taste of death, the shocks of death, the weakest of which is like the pain of 100 strikes of a sword, which is more agonizing than 1,000 strikes of a sword. In fact, the sight of the angel of death alone is more painful than 1,000 strikes of the sword. There will be a new place, utter seclusion, a horrifying sense of helplessness, then the startling arrival of the Nakiran, that is the two angels, Munkar and Nakir, the exhibition of those hideous and fearsome faces, which would leave one aghast, even if seen in the presence of thousands of people, black-faced, bolder-sized, big blue eyes, breath like raging flames, long, sharp-pointed teeth, like the long horns of cattle, long entangled hair dragging on the floor. The gigantic appearance of the angels is yet another torment. Their shoulders miles apart, the sledgehammer in their hands so heavy that if one community of humans and jinns gathered to lift it, they would be unable to do so. The thundering voices announcing their arrival into the grave by ripping the ground with their teeth, as if all these ordeals were not enough. As soon as they come, they will sit the dweller up and will grant no time, and in a stern voice and rebuking tone, take the test, etc. Ala Hazrat at the end makes a dua. Let's conclude our episode with this dua. Allah Azza wa Jal is sufficient for us, and what an excellent and reliable trustee of affairs. Compassionate, have mercy on our feebleness. The excellent one, Send your peace and blessings upon the merciful Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his honorable descendants, and upon the rest of his ummah, nation. The most merciful, please accept this dua. Please accept. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Khade hai munkar nakir sar par, na koi hami, na koi yaver. Bata do aakar mere payambar ke sakht mushkil jawab mein hai. I am helpless, yet munkar and nakir are breathing down my neck. You are my helper and defender, O Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as I am in great trial and test. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, tubu ila Allah, astaghfirullah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم.